Chapter 31. It arrived safely, with a million other letters, tons of paperwork shipped into the capital to sustain the government for one more day. It was sorted by zip code, then by street. 3 days after Buster dropped it off, Ricky's last letter to Al Conyers made its way to Chevy Chase. A routine check of Mailbox America by a surveillance team found it. The envelope was examined, then quickly taken to Langley. Teddy was between briefings, alone for a moment in his office, when DeVille rushed in, holding a thin file. "We got this 30 minutes ago," he said as he handed over 3 sheets of paper. "It's a copy. The original is in the file." The director adjusted his bifocals and looked at the copies before he began reading. There was the Florida postmark, same as always. The handwriting was too familiar. He knew it was serious trouble before he began reading. "Dear Al, in your last letter you tried to end our correspondence. Sorry, it won't be that easy. I'll get right to the point. I'm not Ricky, and you're not Al. I'm in a prison, not some fancy drug rehab clinic. I know who you are, Mr. Lake. I know you're having a great year, just wrapped up the nomination and all, and you have all that money pouring in. They give us newspapers here at Trumbull, and we've been following your success with great pride. Now that I know who Al Conyers really is, I'm sure you'd like for me to keep quiet about our little secret. I'll be happy to remain silent, but it will cost you dearly. I need money, and I want out of prison. I can keep secrets, and I know how to negotiate. The money is the easy part, because you have so much of it. My release will be more complicated, but you're collecting all sorts of very powerful friends. I'm sure you'll think of something. I have nothing to lose, and I'm willing to ruin you if you don't negotiate with me. My name is Joe Roy Spicer. I'm an inmate at Trumbull Federal Prison. You figure out a way to contact me and do it quickly. I will not go away. Sincerely, Joe Roy Spicer." The next briefing was canceled. DeVille found York, and 10 minutes later they were locked away in the bunker. Killing them was the first option discussed. Argro could do it with the right tools, pills and poisons and such. Yarber could die in his sleep. Spicer could drop dead on the track. Beach the hypochondriac could get a bad prescription from the prison pharmacy. They were not particularly fit or healthy, and certainly no match for Argro. A nasty fall, a broken neck. There were many ways to make it look natural or accidental. It would have to be done quickly, while they were still waiting for a reply from Lake. But it would be messy and unduly complicated. 3 dead bodies all at once, in a harmless little prison like Trumbull. And the 3 were close friends who'd spent most of their time together, and they would each die in different ways within a very short period of time. It would create an avalanche of suspicion. What if Argro became a suspect? His background was hidden to begin with. And the Trevor factor frightened them. Wherever he was, there was the chance he would hear of their deaths. The news would scare him even more. But it might also make him unpredictable. There was a chance he knew more than they thought. DeVille would work on plans to take them out. But Teddy was very reluctant. He had no qualms about killing the 3, but he was not convinced it would protect Lake. What if the Brethren had told someone else? There were too many unknowns. Make the plans, DeVille was told, but they would be used only when every other option was gone.